As we stand before the Lord this morning, you know, so often we get into the predicament that silence becomes uncomfortable. But when we stand before the Lord, silence shouldn't be anything like that, because often in the silence we just hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to our heart. So don't be afraid of silence. Let's just stand for a few moments, and then I'm going to ask them just to sing, after we've just been silent for a few moments, just to sing the chorus again, and then we're going to continue with the service. But let's just stand and just listen carefully. Say, Lord, speak to my heart now. Spirit of God, come, speak to my heart now. Let's do that.
It's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. I see your face, it's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. 'Cause I see your face. It's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. I see your face, it's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful.
Let's
all sing it. I see your face. It's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. I see your face, it's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful.
Lord, we thank you that we can honor you in special moments like these, where we can become so aware of you and who you are. We can become so aware of the fact that your love for us is so real, more real than we will ever realize, because we look at your love for us from a very human perspective, and we forget sometimes that your love for us is perfect and complete at all times. And we just stand before you this morning, Lord, and we bring honor and glory to you. And we thank you that we can just look into your face and realize that you are beautiful and our lives are worthwhile. Our lives have meaning just because you are who you are and just because of what you have done in our lives. Lord, we consecrate this time to you as we go to your word now. We pray that you will bless our hearts this morning, that you will open up our hearts and our spirits to receive what your Spirit is bringing to us today. And I ask, Lord, that you will give us grace not to easily forget what your Spirit has shared with our hearts today. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this wonderful privilege. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm reminded as we were just singing this song, You're Beautiful, I was reminded I've mentioned it here before, when Jesus met the blind man along the road. Do you remember that the blind man was shouting out, "Jesus, Jesus, here I am, please see me, please look at me, please have mercy on me," and the people were saying, "Shush, you're bothering the master." And then Jesus went up to the man and he said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's quite a silly question. Here's this man who was blind from his birth, and Jesus goes to him and Jesus says, "What would you like me to do for you?" And the man says, "Lord, that I might see." And then Jesus says, "Well, okay, see." Now, I want you to just picture this. Jesus is standing this far from this man, and Jesus says, "See." And this man opens his eyes, and he looks straight into the eyes of the Christ. Can you imagine that? Having not seen a single thing in his entire life, not his mother's face, not his father's face, not his brothers, not his sisters, not trees, not birds, nothing. And the minute he opens his eyes, he's standing this far from Jesus. And when he opens his eyes, he looks straight into the eyes of the Christ. Think about it. All right. Before we go on, Pastor Tiens and the Malawi team are still en route to Malawi, I believe. And he asked that we please pray for them. They left early hours of Friday morning, if I'm right. And Thursday morning. Thursday evening. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, misinformation. Sorry. But they are en route to Malawi. It's a long, long way to Malawi. And they have very important things that they need to do for the Lord whilst they are there. So before we go on with the word this morning, let's just close our eyes and let's just trust the Lord for the Malawi team, that His blessing will rest upon them and that He will go with them as they go. Father, we thank you that we can spend a moment just this morning to bring the missions team before you en route to Malawi. Lord, we thank you that we know that you are going to do great and wonderful things through their ministry in the next days. And as they continue to fellowship with believers there and have outreaches into the communities, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will be there all of the while and that they will see miracles happen, that they will see lives changed, that they will see churches transformed. Do great things, Lord. But whilst they are traveling, are not only en route to Malawi, but also whilst they are there, we know that the devil will be very angry about this outreach, and we know that the devil will want to throw anything and everything in their path to make them discouraged, to break their speed, in a sense, just to cause them to be downhearted. And Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, you will give your protection upon them and your provision in everything that they need, every step of the way, until they are back safely with us here. We bring them before you. We bring them before the feet of Christ. And we pray that you will be with them all the while in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Firstly, before we start, do you know, have you ever had this experience where you are talking to someone and all the while you're talking to this person is looking over your head and he's looking past you? Have you ever had that experience? How do you feel when that happens? Not good. You feel rejected. Okay? You feel like you can slap the guy. You know, well, why don't you listen to what I'm saying to you? And I would like to say this morning, you know, I've been in ministry for many, many years. And I want to honor you this morning for coming to church every Sunday and listening to people like me and people like Johnny and people like Pastor Tiens, giving your time and actually going to the trouble to pay attention and listen to what I have to say, because I say I have heard from the Lord and I would like to share what I have received from Him, I would like to share with you. And I want to honor you for listening to us with this very real realization that we are no better than anybody else. And at the end of the day, it's not about us. At the end of the day, it's about God. And it's about what God has to say. And I am but an instrument. And yet, you sit in your chair and you listen to me. Thank you. I want to honor you for being sensitive to realize that this is not me, it's not about me. It's about the God that we serve and it's about what He has to say to you. So, beloveds, I honor you for being here. I honor you for listening to guys like me, and like Johnny and Pastor Tiens and all the other guys that preach. It is an honor for us to minister to you, and it's an honor for us to see that the Lord touches your hearts and lives as He has touched ours in the preparation of the messages. So thank you. All right, we're going to speak this morning about this. Put the first slide up. Nope. Wrong one. There. The prayer onion. Now that's got you thinking, right? The prayer onion. All right. I don't think that there are many subjects that have been written about more, that more seminars have been given than prayer. If you go into Kum Books today, they have a whole section of books that were written about prayer. Now, this morning's message is not 10 steps to a successful prayer life. I really want to touch something very deep this morning, and I really believe that as I was thinking about this during the week and praying about it during the week, and I got this idea, and my first thought was, you know, this is the craziest idea you have ever had. I told you once before about an old pastor. He I don't know whether he's still alive. I doubt whether he's still alive now. He always had such catchy themes or what topics for his messages. You know, he would have a message like, I told you before, he would have a message like a mandjie vol somersvrugte, a basket of summer fruits. And then he would speak on the fruit of the Spirit. And then he would have a message like, die dag toe die varkok se deur toegeslaan het. And then the day that the door of the pigsty slammed shut. And then he would speak about the prodigal son. So I'm not trying to outdo him, I promise you, in speaking this morning about the prayer onion. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. And I haven't put the whole scripture up there, but only from verse 9. But I want to read from verse 5. And we all know this scripture very, very well. And I'll tell you now why I want to start with this scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Jesus says, and when, I want you to notice, he doesn't say if. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when, not if, you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when, not if, you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For our Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, let me stop here for a moment. If the Father knows what I have need of before I ask him, why then is it necessary for me to pray? What we must always, always remember is that God, in his grace and mercy, has allowed us as human beings to relate to him, God, in a human way. So for God, it is about relationship. It's about relationship. It's like with tithing. Nicole said this morning, it's not what you give. God doesn't need our money. But God requires from us good stewardship. So for God, it is about relationship. So when God says, or when Jesus says, and he teaches his disciples to pray, and he says, you must go in the secret place, and there you must pray, and you must ask God. And then in the middle of it, he says, but you know what? The Father knows what you need even before you ask him. For God, it is about relationship. And God has allowed us to relate to him in a very daily human way. In other words, in Christ, God came down to man, but in so many other ways also. That he, the Almighty God, who with one word of his mouth can wipe the entire existence of humankind and nature away, allows you and me to sit with him and say, Father, can I speak to you? Father, may I have a word with you? He allows us to approach him in a human way, whilst he is the all-powerful God. He gives us opportunity to engage with him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I put an asterisk there because I want you to know this. This, the last, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Does not appear in the original Greek text. Okay? It doesn't change anything. It doesn't take away from the power of this prayer. But just so that you know, that doesn't appear in the original Greek text. But I like that phrase. I like that phrase. So, in the New King James Version, it is there. If you read it in the ESV, it's not there. The reason is purely because it's not in the original Greek text. But I like that phrase. Yours, O God, Creator God, Sustainer of all things.
is the kingdom. Yours, O God, ever present, all powerful God, is the power. Yours, O God, righteous, loving, merciful God, is the glory forever. Amen. And if that doesn't make you excited, very few things in life will. Just to be able to say, yours, O God, is the kingdom. Yours, O God, is the power. Yours, O God, is the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. If that doesn't make you excited, very few things in life will. Believe me. But what I want you to see, go back to the original slides on it. Go to the next one. Okay, now that is what an onion looks like when you cut it open. Okay, we all know that. And we know that an onion has all these layers, right? All these layers, and when an artist gets hold of an onion, it looks like this. Yeah, you chefs will know how to do this. Jerry, you guys will know how to do this story. They will know how to do this story. But what I need you to realize this morning is that there are so many layers to an onion, and there are so many layers to our prayer lives. And when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, he's praying for what? He's praying for the kingdom to come. And then he goes on and he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." What's he doing? He's praying for personal needs. And then he goes on and he says, "Forgive us our debts." He's praying for forgiveness. Okay? Can you see? I'm not going to go on and on and on about this. But I need you to understand that there are so many layers to our prayer life. There are so many layers in the onion. If we go back to the first slide and we think that is all an onion is about, we are very, very, very wrong. Okay? There are many, many, many layers to all of this. Now, we pray about personal stuff. And that's right, we should pray about personal stuff. We pray about family. We pray for our husbands, we pray for our wives, we pray for our children, we pray for our parents. We pray for our family, and that's right, we should. We pray for our church, and that is right, and that we should. We pray for missions. We pray for missionaries. And that is right. We pray for the lost. That is right. We pray for our government. For governments. And that is right. So, do you see what I'm saying this morning? Is that there are so many layers to our prayer life. And we will be foolish, I think, if we were to try to simplify our prayer life and say that this is all that our prayer life is about. And I'm going to show you exactly what I mean by that this morning. If you have been following the news in the past few weeks, we all realize that our country is in trouble on so many levels. Has anybody realized that? Our country is in trouble on so many levels. And what intrigues me is when you watch the news and you read the newspapers or you read the on the websites, the different news websites, you find all these people rushing around trying to find political solutions, financial solutions to all of these things that are happening. And the sad thing is that you hear people saying certain things, and then you hear Christian people, children of God, who join in the conversations and say things like, "Do you know what? There really is no hope for South Africa anymore." They say it. Christian people say it. And I want to encourage you this morning, my brothers and sisters, do not get sucked into that kind of conversation. Because the reality of life is this. Life and death lies in the power of your tongue. And when God's children start saying stuff like, there is no hope for this country, we are in greater trouble than we realize. Do you know what? When people say stuff like that, turn and walk away, or bring the truth in the situation and say, as long as God is alive, there is hope for this country. Whether Pravin Gordhan gets axed or not, God is still God. Whether Jacob Zuma makes it to the next election or not, God is still God. Whether students get free tertiary education or not, God is still God. I want you to look at me. Do not get into this kind of conversation with people who know no better. Do not. We have been called by God to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And when everybody else is saying there is no hope, let's stand tall and say, in Jesus' name, there is hope. When people are saying there is no solution, let's stand tall and say, in Jesus' name, there is a solution. Do not get involved and say things like there is no hope. We draw a line right through our Christianity when we begin speaking about there is no hope. Because everything about God, everything about... This is not on the notes. But listen to me. When for 400 years there was silence, there were no prophets, nothing. And what was the world saying? Sitting in darkness. There is no hope. God has become silent. He will not speak to us anymore. And then one morning, a baby cries. One morning, in a stable in Bethlehem, a baby cries. And then the words of the prophet, a nation that sat in darkness, saw great light. And if we think of Christ today, we can never make the statement, there is no hope. Let me tell you why. Because, do you know what? Mankind had given up on mankind, but God hadn't. And then Jesus was born. And everything changed. That was not on the notes. Let's pick out a few layers this morning. I went through these things over and over and over again, and I just went time after time after time. I had to just leave so much stuff out, and I really believe that what God wants to say this morning is the following. In the first place, prayer for our country, South Africa. It's one of the layers, prayer for our country, South Africa. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. We all know these verses very, very well, but I just want to run through them this morning, and I really just want to share with you what is in my heart today. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 14 and 15 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now let me stop there. Let me read the next verse as well. Verse 15 says this, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Now just stay with me. Just stay with me. This is a challenge from God. When God speaks and he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will. Okay, are there any teachers here? Are there a few teachers here? Now, the correct English is I shall, right? But we all know that when someone wants to accentuate something, he says, I will, not I shall. It's like very serious stuff. I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. And then it's almost as though God steps back and he says, the following verse, he says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. It's almost as though God says, this is what I will do, but it all depends on you. This is what I promise to do, but it all depends on you. And I will sit in heaven, and my ears will be open, my eyes will be open, and I will be attentive to listen to the things that you will pray from this place. So, in our day, or when we go back, who was God speaking to? God was speaking to the chosen people of Israel. Okay, but that sort of puts us out of the picture, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Listen. In Christ, we are God's chosen. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know what? We are not part of the chosen nation of Israel. I'm not Jewish, and neither are you, I don't think, or you may be. But I am not part of the chosen nation of Israel. But in Christ, I am God's chosen. As the church of Christ, we are God's chosen. So is this promise, is it for us? Is this responsibility for us? Yes, it is. So when in the face of the things that we are seeing, what have we been seeing this last while? Violent student protests and the possibility that students will not be able to complete their academic year is becoming a greater reality every day. But then what? We've been seeing these things, political and government turmoil, hidden agendas. You just need to look at what is happening to know that this is true. Crime and violence and corruption. It's just all over the news each and every single day. We see these things happen every single day. But then God comes to us today and God says, if my people who are called by my name, who is he referring to? To us. Remember, the Bible is relevant to all time. Because the Bible is about the character of God in the first place. Not merely about what God did or what God said. Because we can say, oh, you know, that's Old Testament stuff. It makes no difference. Because Old Testament stuff is about what? Is about the character of God. Oh, but that's New Testament. That's not relevant. What is the New Testament about? It's about the character of God. It's not about who killed who and who. It's not about that. We need to see, when we read Scripture, we need to see into the heart of God, because that's what it's about. It's about the character of God. That's what we need to see. And we have a huge responsibility today to say, Lord, we will take up this responsibility to pray for South Africa. Are we in a mess? Yes, we are. Are we facing real challenges? Yes, we are. But we will take up this challenge to pray for South Africa. There is a collective here. Can you see that? When God speaks, he speaks of each one. Everyone. The people who are chosen by my name. Do you know that it's not just the pastors? Not just the priests? Not just the prophets? My people. Every single one. From the most important to the most humble. Every single one. There is a collective here. It speaks of each one, everyone who is called by his name. It also speaks of the unity of those individuals who are called by his name. God never, he says, he doesn't say my persons, he says my people. So he's referring to each and every one, firstly. But secondly, he's also referring to a unity among the called ones, the chosen ones. If my people who are called by my name will do the following, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now, listen to this. When we read the Old Testament, there are so many things in there that are really heartbreaking. If you think about what God promised Israel and how God promised to be with them and heal them and walk with them and prosper them and all that kind of thing. Now, there are many other examples, but I just took out this one. Listen to this. In Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 3. Now, you all agree that when God made a covenant with Abraham, the chosen people came about. The people of covenant. We all know that. And everything that went with it. So, let me ask this question. Do you think that at any stage, God's plan and purpose for his chosen people changed? No. No, it didn't. But now listen to what Israel, to the place that Israel find themselves. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 3, the ESV. Listen to this. King Zedekiah sent Zephaniah the priest. I've cut out the genealogies. King Zedekiah sent Zephaniah the priest to Jeremiah the prophet saying, please pray for us to the Lord our God. Think about that. The king is the appointed of the Most High God. And the priest is the appointed spiritual authority for the chosen race of Israel. And the king calls the priest and sends him to the prophet to ask the prophet to pray. Think about that. The king sends the prophet, sends the priest to the prophet and says to the prophet, will you please pray to God on our behalf? Church of Christ, are we heading for the same scenario? This is just a tongue-in-cheek thing, but are we heading for the same scenario where people say, do you know what, if the pastor doesn't pray for me, it's not going to help. I am sick, and I will go to the pastor's house, and I will ask the pastor to pray for me, and if the pastor doesn't pray for me, it's not going to help. True story. Thank you. Can you imagine if we ever get to a place where the king sends the priest to the prophet to say, please pray for us to God? If you go, and I'm not going to go there now, but if you look at Israel, at the Israel nation in the desert, God sends serpents among the Israelites, and they're dying 10 to a dozen. What do? They call Moses and they say to Moses,
go and pray to God for us. This is God's chosen people. This is God's chosen people. And they need to run and they need to say to Moses, Moses, we're all going to die in this desert. Please go to God and pray for us so that we are not vanquished in this desert. Children of God, what I'm saying is, upon each of us. No, go one step back. God has given each and every one of us. I don't care who you are. I don't care how clever you are. I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't care who you are. You know what? You may be the most important person in this church today. And you may be the most humble one. God has given to you the authority to pray in the name of Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, and Jesus says this over and over again. When you pray, you will receive. When you ask, you will be given to. Jesus says it over and over and over again. And each and every one of us has been given this authority to pray in Jesus' name and see results happen. Have we stopped believing that? I want to say, if we engage in conversations like there is no hope for South Africa, then I believe that we have lost it. Then I believe that we have lost a treasure that we need to find again and find it this morning. Remember that verse. Pray this verse. Jeremiah 37 verse 3. Pray it and say, God, help us as your people never to get to a situation where the king needs to send the priest to the prophet to pray to God for us. We must pray it. Pray scripture. Don't pray all the nice stuff. Pray this stuff. Secondly, prayer for the vision for your life and the dreams that run alongside. How much do we pray about the very and often most important things that we need to pray about? When it comes to the vision for my life, God, where do you want me to go from here? What is your plan? What is your purpose for my life? Where do I fit into the puzzle? Have you ever tried? I hate building puzzles with an absolute passion. I hate building puzzles. I hate playing games. I used to play snakes and ladders with my children, and I felt at any given time that I'm going to burst a blood vessel somewhere. I hated it that much. I hate playing games. I hate playing Monopoly. I hate it. I just can't do it. Anyway, but what I want to say this morning is this: we need to understand what is God's plan. What is God's purpose? But do we pray about those things? Mothers, fathers, do we sit on the bed of our sleeping child and lay hands on him and her on a regular basis and say, Satan, hands off this child. I am proclaiming that this child's life is consecrated to God, and God is the one he will serve. We need to declare these things. We need to pray these things over our children each and every day, over our families each and every day, but also even over our own life and say, God, where is it that you want me to go? What is it that you want me to do? Listen to this quote. We think often that our dreams are, you know what, it's something that I dream about. If I get there, I get there. If I don't, I don't. Listen to this quote. The quote says this: cherish your dreams and aspirations. They are the children of your soul, the blueprint of your ultimate achievements. Can I repeat that? Cherish your dreams and aspirations. They are the children of your soul, the blueprint of your ultimate achievements. If we don't have a dream birthed in our heart from God, might I say, what will we achieve? What will we achieve in our lives? What will we achieve for God?
Listen to this man. He's only ever mentioned once in the whole Bible. And in the middle of all the genealogies, he's only mentioned once, and his name is Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Jabez called upon the Lord, God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." That's all he prayed. The previous verse says that he was more honorable, I think, than his brothers. And then the next part of this verse says, "And God granted what he asked. Our Father desires of each of us to live fruitful and fulfilled lives. And we have the right to trust him for that." We have the right to go to God and say, "Lord, this is what I need to do. This is what I pray for. This is what I long for." And in that conversation that we have in prayer with God, do you know what? God says, God will speak to you and God will say to you, "You know what? This is what you're desiring, but actually I need you to go one step back, because all that is fine, but you know my will for your life is this." And you know what happens? Suddenly I begin to pray according to God's will. And then my dreams and my plans and my aspirations and my vision becomes less important. And what God wants becomes more important. And I begin to pray that. And then I begin to pray like Jabez, and I can be bold and I can pray and I can say, "Lord God, I come to you and I pray that you will bless me and enlarge my border, that you might be with me and that you would keep me from harm and might not that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. I want to encourage you this morning. Pray about your life on a daily basis. Who of you have ever been on a roller coaster? A few of you. I've only been on a roller coaster once. I was 16 years old, and I was in matric, right at the beginning of matric. And I don't know who of you can remember, at Goodwood Showgrounds, they had these roller coasters and things. And everything inside of me said, "Do not get on this roller coaster." But you know what peer pressure is like? And eventually I thought, well, you know, I can't be the sissy in the picture here, so I got to get on the roller coaster. I screamed like a girl every single step of the way. I thought I was going to have a heart attack over and over and over again. I thought, "Lord, this is my final day. This is my final hour. I will not survive this." And that was a Mickey Mouse roller coaster. I mean, that was like... When I was 16 years old, that was like 20 years ago. It was a Mickey Mouse. You're not supposed to laugh now. You're supposed to be nice. I mean, that was a Mickey Mouse roller coaster. It's not like the stuff that goes upside down today. My goodness. And you know what? For some of us, life just seems to be like a roller coaster. You know what happens, happens. Whatever will be, que sera, sera. That's the way we live our lives. And you know what, children of God? We may not live our lives that way. We need to take control of our lives, and we need to go to God with our lives each and every day. Every single aspect of it, go to God with it. I'm not being silly now, but you know, don't go to stand in front of your wardrobe and say, "Lord, what must I wear today?" You know, really, I'm not saying stuff like that, but I'm talking things that are fundamental to your life and well-being. Pray to God, trust God every single day about those things that make up your life. We need to do that. It's not just a roller coaster ride. You know, whatever will be. That's not what life is. And let's not allow it ever to become that. And then, thirdly, I want to get very close to the core of the onion this morning. And I want to use an example from Scripture, but I would like to call this prayer from our deepest pain for our deepest longing.
Now, every single one of us will be able to relate to this in some or other way. Because each and every one of us have gone through times in our life of deep pain. Times in our lives where life has really been tough and life has really been hard. And where very deeply we have been hurt. And I want to talk about this morning, because we have the tendency to do the following. We have the tendency to close certain rooms in our heart. And we believe that that room is my private space. Nobody must know about this. It's private. My pain is private. And I even go so far as to say, do you know what? I don't even want God to come here, because this is my private territory. And I almost put up a wall, and we know God knows everything, but I almost put up a wall, and I don't talk about these things. I don't to other people, and I don't pray about these things, because this is a private space where nobody goes. And I want to encourage you today, if you have a room like that in your heart, open up the door today. Open up the door today. And we have all had experiences, maybe not today, maybe not yesterday, but we have all had experiences where we have experienced deep sorrow and pain. Now, I want to use an example. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, the whole first part of that chapter, but let's read from verse 1 to 7. It's not up there, but listen to what it says. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim in the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. I'm going to cut the genealogies. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Let me stop there. No, let me go on. I'll say that just now. And her rival Peninnah used to provoke her grievously to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Now, I use this purely as an example. Can you see what I'm saying about things that hurt us deeply? Things that hurt us deeply. Now, can you imagine what this woman went through? In those days, other than today, if people today can't have children or choose not to, people like that are not frowned upon. You know, that's your choice. Or, gosh, you know, that's the way life is. You can't have children. And then there's always the adoption thing. So it was different in those days. A woman who was barren was frowned upon, ridiculed, marginalized. And the pain that they had to endure because of the barrenness that they experienced was an unbelievable pain. And we know how people are. People are very, very cruel. Now, verse 10 says this: she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Now, she's praying, okay? Now, I want you to listen to this. If we read from verse 13, now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Can you just see the perpetuation of this pain? She's been ridiculed and marginalized by her peers. Now she goes to the temple and she kneels down and she begins to pray. Now only her lips are moving. Now, Eli the priest, nogal. Eli the priest, verse 13. No, verse 14. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." Can you see? Just another dagger. Just another perpetuation of this pain that is becoming deeper and deeper and deeper all the while. But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maid servant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." And then Eli sort of gets the picture, and then he says this. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Can you see what this meant to this woman? To kneel down before God and to say, "God, this is what's happening inside here." And then verse 27 says, "For this child," and then Samuel obviously is, she conceives and Samuel is born. And then she says, "For this child I pray, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him." Samuel, the prophet of the Lord, is born. Do you know what? Sometimes it's hard because we find that when we relate to people, when we engage with people, people often separate themselves from our pain. But I've got good news for you. God will never separate himself from your pain. Cry your tears before the living God. Pour out your heart before God. Because he will never ever separate himself from your pain. Philippians 4 verse 6, Paul writes and he says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, "Never stop praying." Can you see? We are called to pray each and every day of our lives. After all the books, and after all the seminars, and after all the sermons that have been preached about prayer and written about prayer and seminarized about prayer, there's no such word, don't quote me. After all of that, you ask any child of God today, and each and every one will have a struggle in some area in his prayer life. One of the layers. Go to the layers for me. Next slide. That one. In all of those layers, there are things that we struggle with each and every day. You know, we did so many seminars over the years. And one of the questions that they would always ask is that you write on a piece of paper and hide it in your Bible so that nobody else knows. How long do you spend every day in prayer? And then you see the guys write and then they hide it in their Bible. And there probably are many reasons for that, and that's a different subject altogether. Now I want to say something very important. Very, very important. Turn to the guy next to you and say, "You got to listen now." I'm going to say something. Of everything that I've said this morning, this is probably the most important thing. Listen to this. Are you listening? Look at me. As we have peeled away the layers of the prayer onion, you have realized that certain things, depending on who you are, what our background is, what the circumstances of our lives are, what dreams we dream, determine what lies closest to the core. There are certain things in your life that you will pray about more than others. It is so. You see, I can't, where's that pointer thing? Have you got it there? Give it to me. I wanted to point to the spot. Well, let's see whether Moja can get it. I'm going to read that thing to you again. We're almost done, guys. 2 minutes and we're done. We have all, as we've peeled away the layers of the prayer onion, we have realized that certain things, depending on who we are, what our background is, what the circumstances of our lives are, what dreams we dream, determine what lies closest to the core. So there are many things that we will pray about because it is so close to our hearts. It is so close. Does it work, Moj? Daar rooi koliki. Werke. Okay, there we go. What? There we go. You see all these layers, okay? What lies closest to the core? Maybe that layer, or that layer there. Maybe that is pain. Maybe that is your children. Maybe that is your dreams. Maybe those are your aspirations. Maybe there. Now I want you to listen to me. Right at the core, the most important thing of all, right in the core, is my love for God. If my love for God is not right there, I'm in trouble. Then sometimes I pray and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have time and sometimes I don't. Listen to me very, very carefully. The one thing that will drive you to pray is your love for God. Not your circumstances. Because do you know what else happens? I don't know why God's doing this to me. Why would God allow this in my life? And you know what we do? We stop praying. Because we believe that God has brought this upon us. And I can go on and on and on and on. But guys, just listen to me. I'm going to say it again. Right there must be your love for God. All these things will change. All these things, these will move out, those will move in. But right there is your love for God. Let's stand. When Jesus is asked, what is the most important commandment of all? What does he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Your layers may be definitely very unique to you this morning. All I want you to do this morning is to just dig deep into your heart and make this one confession. Lord God, I love you. Will you do that? Just where you're standing now. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. But right there where you're standing now, will you just speak to the Lord for a few minutes and just say, Lord, the layers of my life are such. These are the things that I am trusting you for. These are the things that I am praying about. But one thing that I want to say this morning before I leave this church, and that is that, Lord God, I love you with all of my heart. In your own words, Monet, will you play for us? In your own words, just going to give 2 or 3 minutes time. Just say, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Help me never to forget this, and help this to be the driving force between my prayer or behind my prayer life each and every day. Let it never be about circumstance. Let it never be about dreams. Let it never be about anything else but this, that I love you, and that everything else will spring from this one truth. I love you, Lord. Thank you. Father, as we stand before you this morning, each of us have so many things that are in our hearts right now. And there are so many things that we are trusting you for. Thank you for the realization of this truth that is so real to us right now. That is, our love for you must lie at the core of our prayer onion. If it's not there, if something else has taken the place of our love for you, then our prayer life is in trouble. And Heavenly Father, I pray to you this morning. I come humbly in Jesus' name, and I pray for myself first and foremost. And I pray, Lord, that you will remind me on a daily basis that my love for you will be the motivation of my prayer life each and every day. Remind me each day. Let the Spirit of the Lord speak clearly into my heart each day and remind me of this truth. And what I pray for myself, I pray for each one of us here today, the realization of this truth. My love for you, God, is the driving force of my prayer life, lying right at the core of my prayer onion, of my prayer life. Lord, we thank you and we honor you this morning that we could spend this time in your presence before you. And I pray, Lord, that every thought that I have shared this morning will linger on in our hearts, that we will think over these things, that we will pray over these things, that we will make these things our own, and that we will realize, Lord, that our walk with you is the most precious walk that we will ever have. And that we will realize, Lord, that your walk with us is the greatest strength of our lives to fulfillment, to success, to happiness. You will walk with us. And I pray, Lord, that you will really just engrave these thoughts in our hearts this morning and help us to realize that they are lingering on in our hearts each and every day. We will think about these things and pray about these things. Thank you for your precious children. Thank you for your precious people. And I pray that you will go with us as we go from here, that you will bless and keep us, and that the glory of the Lord will shine upon us each and every day, and that the hand of God will be with us wherever we go. We ask and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there is anybody who requires prayer for something specific, please don't go home. We will be here in front and we will wait here. If you have anything you'd like us to pray with you about, please come forward and we will gladly pray with you. It's always a wonderful thing to partner with someone in prayer. So if you have something in your heart you'd like us to pray with you about, come forward and we'll pray with you. Otherwise, go into the foyer, enjoy some coffee and tea before you go home, and God bless you. Remember this evening service at 6 o'clock at the Rugby Club.